That's Prima Queen. 10:51 the time, 9 minutes shy of 11 o'clock, and welcome to the Midday Show. The Mornings with Ed Show turning into the Midday Show and getting even better as we have live music in studio. I've been waiting on them for a while. Daisy the Great, Kelly, Minna, and Nardo in studio. They've got some new stuff coming out, and you're going to hear a new version of their song, Glitter. Glitter 2, that no one else has heard yet except for us. We're looking forward to this performance. I hope you are as well. Please welcome Kelly, Minna, and Nardo. They are Daisy the Great.
I've got a record player that was made in 2014. Dyed my hair blue. It came out of C6 soda green. I like vintage dresses when they fall. Below my knees, I pretend I scraped them. Coming in the sometimes I think all I'm ever doing is trying to convince myself I'm alive. Sometimes I think all I'm ever doing is trying to convince myself I'm alive. Wipe my eyes and cut me off. Wipe my eyes on. Dyed my hair blue, came out of C6 soda green. I like vintage dresses when they fall just below my knees. I pretend I scraped them. Crying in the sometimes I think all I'm ever doing is trying to convince myself I'm alive. Sometimes I think all I'm ever doing is trying to convince myself I'm alive. I need a dictionary. Someone look me up and define me. Please remind me how I'm supposed to be around you so you will do what I want you to. I'm always winning the wrong game. Oh, I don't remember my real name. I've got a record player that was made in 2014. Dyed my hair blue. It came out of C6 soda green. I like vintage dresses and they fall. I pretend I scrape them. Going in the sometimes I think all I'm ever doing is trying to convince myself I'm alive. Sometimes I think all I'm ever doing is trying to convince myself I'm alive. I've got a record player that was made in 2014. Dyed my hair blue. Came out of C6 soda green. I like vintage dresses on my fall. Just below my knees I pretend I scrape them. Sometimes I think all I'm ever doing is trying to convince myself I'm alive. I like vintage dresses when they fall just below my knees. I pretend I scraped them climbing in the trees. 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 Trees.
Hey, what's up?
We're Daisy the Great.
Thanks so much for listening. That was our song, The Record Player Song. And yeah, we're super excited to be here. We're going to play some more music. I'm Kelly.
I'm Minna.
This is Nardo.
We are going to play a song now that we, actually this is the first time we're saying this, but it's coming out May 12th. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. It's called Glitter 2. It's a reimagining of our song Glitter. It's like an emo version.
Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I paint my face with glitter in the morning light. Dirt on the
kitchen floor, cold as an icebox, fingernails top until the radiator hung. Yell out loud at an old boy cereal. I'll clean up if anyone will come. Tuck down all the paintings hung up on the wall. My room is so much better off if I don't get involved. I neglected my plans to prove I would. Should've let the sun in, would've done us good. I paint my face with glitter in the morning light. I've been up all night. I paint my face with glitter in the morning light. I've been up all night. Just rotten to the core.
Such a bore, such a wannabe.
Dressing for the thrill.
Like a pill, it's an armor. Guess I'm not a threat. Guess I'm not a threat.
Nighttime lunatic, the milk is turning sour. But I'd rather go dancing with a woman in the mirror. There's a ringing in my ears.
I paint my face with glitter in the morning light. I've been up all night. I paint my face with glitter in the morning light. I've been up all night. Dust off my piano keys. Sleep in the morning light. Dust off my piano keys. I play a lullaby. Put myself to sleep. In the morning light. I paint my face with glitter in the morning light. I paint my face with glitter in the morning. I paint my face with glitter in the morning light. I paint my face with glitter in the morning light. Cool.
That's the first time we've ever sung that.
It was fun. All right, and now we're going to play one more song. This is a song off of our most recent record. Yeah, which so is Glitter, but that was Glitter too. But this song is called Tell Me, Have You Been Dancing, off of our album All You Need Is Time. And we're ready to play it.
Yeah. Oh, wait. It's not on five, it's on four. I'm playing the guitar now. This is Minna.
This is Kelly. Nardo sitting.
I'm not having fun yet. Maybe if I could drive, I would run away and find a place to enjoy the rest of my time here. But how would you know where to look if you wanted to find me? How would you know where to look if you wanted to find me? Tell me, have you been dancing lately? Are you gonna die like the beautiful mess you left me when you wasted all my time? Will you love me back, or should I stop keeping track? Will you love me back, or should I stop? Will you love me back, or should I stop? Your body's contagious. I wish it were mine. Caught up in a fight that December night. I wouldn't have left you alone there. But how would you know where to look if you wanted to find me? How would you know where to look if you wanted to find me? Tell me, have you been dancing lately? Are you gonna die like the beautiful mess you left me when you wasted all my time? Will you love me back, or should I stop?
That is exactly why we love doing this. Daisy the Great, that's Kelly, Minna, and Nardo in our live room. Just a delightful set, and I'll talk about the artistry in it. On the other side of this, about 2 minutes away, we're going to sit down and have a conversation with Daisy the Great. .11:05, Thursday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show, and I think the first word I used when they came out of the live room was magic. My God! I absolutely loved that live performance. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
I've got Kelly and Minna. We left Nardo outside in the lobby. But I've got Kelly and Minna in with me. Daisy the Great. Welcome. Thank you for being
Thank
here
you
this
for
morning.
Thank you so much.
That was such a great performance. And it brought to mind, I love art. I love art of all kinds. I love music, but I love art. Mm-hmm. And that to me seemed like a sculpture, a beautiful painting. That was magnificent.
Aww, thank you so much.
That's so kind.
The harmonizing, toughest part of doing being in a band is the harmonizing, I'm guessing?
No.
I think it depends on like the setup, because I think harmonizing is super, super hard in a standard like venue with like monitors on the ground. Like, it's really hard to like get your mix right, to be able to hear like which voice is yours, and when you're singing with someone the entire time, it like depends on how well you can hear yourself, I would say.
Right, which was the case in our live room. We have monitors on the ground. You don't have headsets or earplugs.
No,
or
we were just singing live in the room, which comes pretty naturally to us. But it's just when like there's drums and a lot of other stuff going on, it's hard to like
if you can't hear, definitely.
Right. And Minna, you mentioned drums, and I'll step back into the conversation about voice work in a minute, but you mentioned drums. You're able to jump on those drums. You jumped on a guitar. You're obviously musically quite inclined.
I would say I'm very good at the drums, but I do play guitar and bass in the band. But I actually learned guitar kind of later in life. Not that much later, but I haven't learned drums yet, but I want to learn drums.
All right. You were just going to get up there and rattle them off, right?
Yeah. I wasn't really going to do it, but I could do a simple beat. But I think I learned guitar like right after college, and then kind of like self-taught throughout having the band because of like writing. I wanted to write on guitar. So, and now I like play kind of for most of the set, I learned bass for two tours ago, mm-hmm. The Half Alive. When we went on tour with Half Alive, we had to like pare the band down to four people. So I
decided to learn the bass for that tour because I didn't want to put bass in the tracks.
Right.
Because we really like to have as many live instruments playing the parts as we can.
Right.
So I learned the bass for that, and I really, really like it. And I'm still like getting better at it and stuff, but I feel pretty good at it.
Do the tours blend together sometimes? Like you're thinking, well, which tour was that? And you're like, okay, does it all blend into one big giant tour?
They don't blend into one tour, but we've visited a lot of the same places and we've toured a lot recently. Right. In the past like 2 years, we've done a lot of the same routing and a lot of touring.
Right.
So I think because of that, we're like, which time was that? But they are clear in my head once I figure it out.
And this is coming from a dumb guy who doesn't sing well at all, but when does the moment you think to yourself, I can do this in public? When does that confidence come in to where you think, I'm good enough to sing in public? And not just sing. You sing your butts off in public. I'm following the sign of the sign.
Yes. I think my mom was an opera singer, so I grew up.
There you go. Let me throw away my script. There you go.
I grew up, I would say pretty immediately, like wanting to be singing. And I remember I saw The Sound of Music in a theater, and then it was raining, and I was like a little kid, and it was raining outside, and we were like, oh, we need to buy an umbrella. We went into an umbrella store, and then I was like, my mom was trying to be buying an umbrella, and I was like in the store trying to convince people that I had played Gretel in the show. And I was like, you can listen to me sing. I know all the parts. Like, I promise you, I know the choreography. And I was like 4, and then my mom was like, what are you doing? You're not in that show. So I think I was pretty quickly trying to be like a little showman when I was
a
kid.
I think we were both kind of like hammy kids. Yeah. Like, if you look back at, we were looking at some home videos of ourselves because we were incorporating it into a music video for our song Time Machine. And I was looking back at videos and I was like, I was literally such a ham. Like, I was just like such a little, like, I would like always, like, whenever my mom had the camera on, I would be like, look at me, wait, watch me do this, like, watch me do, and it was, like, really annoying, honestly, but I would, like, sit on the porch when I was a kid and, like, make up songs about squirrels, and I would be like, look at that squirrel running up that tree, like,
I love it.
Whatever I was doing.
Innate. We could have been friends. I think this would have been a great threesome friendship for us.
I think it's scarier, like, writing music and, like, putting it out. I think the scarier thing is, like, performing stuff that you, like, aren't sure how it's going to land, you know, in front of people. But that's also, like, the most exciting part is, like, sharing what you made.
Well, you bring up a great point. When you write music, and you write music from a personal place, when you write it from inside, it's scarred maybe or whatever. Whatever it drives the writing of that particular song, do you sometimes think, this is just too much of me in it? Is there ever that moment where you think, it's too much of
me? There are songs that are, I think, like, feel riskier to play, or songs that feel a little, like, spooky to play. Oh. But I also think there's songs that, if a song feels like it's too much for yourself, I would say you can just let it be your song and not show anyone.
Right. Yeah, we definitely
don't have to put it out if you don't feel like it.
Okay. Yeah. Have some stuff we've showed each other and we've been like, that's a personal song.
Right.
But we definitely, I think it's nice to, like, I think there's something about letting go of it being you or yours. Like, once it's out there, like, it belongs to everyone, you know? And, like, there's something, like, really special that's been happening on this tour with one of our songs, Tell Me Have You, a lot of our songs it's happening with.
Yeah.
And, like, I would say Liar, too. Like, everybody is, like, with Tell Me Have You Been Dancing and Liar. Like, Tell Me Have You Been Dancing, I wrote in the shower. It's a really personal song. And Kelly wrote Liar, and it's a really personal song for her. And I think, like, for both of those songs, in particular, like, at most of the shows, people have been, like, really singing them along and singing along with them. And I think we are, like, very, like, overwhelmed by that. But, like, I was saying at one of the shows, like, I used to be really sad singing that song. And now I'm, like, so, like, I'm just, like, so grateful singing that song, like, that it's, like, touching people.
And I have to admit to you right now that as you were singing Tell Me Have You Been Dancing, I'm thinking, well, this is now a shared experience for all of us. Because it is, it does touch. Mm-hmm. And if it is a shared experience, I'm in. Yeah. So thank you for sharing it. We were treated to, was that the debut of Glitter 2? Was that like the
debut of Glitter 2?
Right on. Hold on. Yeah.
Let's go.
Right on, man. What drove the need for Glitter 2 after Glitter?
So we kind of incessantly like making other versions of songs that we have, okay. and like taking instruments away or changing them or stripping them down. A lot of the time the song will start from a really kind of delicate place, and then in the album creation process it will grow a lot. And I think once we do that, a lot of the time we then want to take it all away again and try to get to the core of it again. So I think with this song, we had just put out another version of our song, Tell Me, Have You Been Dancing, that Claude remixed. And then kind of on the heels of that, we were like, we would actually love to just take Glitter in our own hands with our band and like remake that one too. Yeah. That sounds like so fun.
There's like two sides of the lyric. Well, there's many sides of the lyrics in Glitter, but I think that there's like one that's like kind of like a chaos that is like hyper and like very like energetic, which I think is encapsulated in the original recording of Glitter. But I also think that there's a side of the song that's really about like kind of like insomnia and like we wanted to capture something that felt a little sleepier and a little dreamier.
And lonely.
Yeah. And like, I think it was nice to be able to create both versions and make like a haunted version of it.
Right. Oh, well done. Well, beautifully stated, first of all, and well done.
Thanks.
When you're writing and when you're traveling and writing, when you're on the road, how much does environment affect the writing itself? For instance, can you write one kind of song in San Francisco and then that type of experience would be different if you're writing a song in New York?
I think that for me, it's maybe less like city to city and more like nature versus urban, or like in my room versus on a walk. Right. I think that informs sometimes like the detail of the song, or like for Glitter, for example, like that song, we're thinking about a lot of stuff that's in a room that kind of feels like it's maybe all in one room.
And
so
it's pretty crowded.
Yeah. So that I think was important to write in a room because we're just more able to imagine, I think, the stuff around you to draw into the lyrics. But other song, yeah, like I feel like a song that I wrote on a walk like feels like a song on a walk. It feels like I'm on a walk, and like you should listen to it on a walk.
Definitely.
Again, beautifully said. I like as much as I loved you in the live room, I love you even more sitting here. You guys are just nailing it. I love this. Tomorrow night you're at the Echo, right?
Yeah.
All right, okay, so you're ready for it. You're down.
We're so
right?
excited.
We're
stoked. Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, we're so happy to be in California. We had our first California show. Yesterday, 2 days ago, in San Francisco. It might have been yesterday.
It's that whole blending together thing.
Yeah,
it was 2 days ago.
The days do blend. The other day we were talking about like Columbus, and we were like, "That was this tour." That's cool. but we played in San Francisco and it was awesome, and we're super excited to play LA. We have a lot of friends out here that we're like excited to see at the show. I think it's going to be really special.
Well, I hope you consider me one more of those friends,
because
I absolutely am digging you guys. If our listeners wanted to purchase your music, your swag, whatever, where would they go that benefits you the most?
Definitely
coming to a show on tour benefits us the most. Coming to the show and buying the merch in person is like the best way to support us. I think that the second best way is like buying merch online at our website, daisythegreat.com. We have a lot of special merch though that we aren't selling online right now that is specific to tour, that like if we have leftover, we'll sell it online. But we have like really, we made a lot of cool stuff actually.
Right.
We made a zine that has all the songs and chords.
And like stories and games and stuff.
Love them. My God. I'm loving you guys. That is such a great idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tomorrow night they are at the Echo. Kelly, Minna, you're taking Nardo with you to the Echo?
Yeah.
All right.
We have a full six-piece band. It's really lively. The whole show is like very energetic and very fun.
I can't wait. And I absolutely loved having you in here. Please promise me the next time you're around that you drop by and
say hello.
Right.
Yeah,
we'd love to.
Let's do it. Kelly and Minna, Daisy the Great, we want to thank Nardo for playing in the live room as well. The best of luck tomorrow night, and we'll talk to you soon. Right?
Thank you.
Thank you. It's The Mornings with Ed Show.